Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Embracing What Is Real. I'm your host, Elaine Lipson. Embracing What's Real is the forum to explore the nature of reality and the impact our current belief systems have on our lives. All of our deep-rooted old beliefs are what many of us use to judge ourselves and our actions. Our current belief systems impact every single choice we make. So when we feed our spirit with new, empowering ideas about the meaning of life, the meaning of our lives change.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Helene Lipson Show on In5D Radio. I'm your host, Helene Lipson. Tonight, we're doing a very special segment called Embracing What Is Real. And my very special guest tonight is Robert Perala. Robert is the internationally acclaimed author of The Divine Blueprint, Roadmap for the New Millennium, and The Divine Architect, The Art of Living and Beyond. He's a graduate of the Robbins Research Institute. In 2007, Washington, D.C. presented Robert with the prestigious Certificate of Congressional Recognition Award given to him at Stanford University for his humanitarian relief efforts with UNICEF and Adopt a Minefield. His current effort is his new upcoming website and video blog, The Divine Intelligence. Join the conversation. He's here with us today. Let's welcome Robert Perala. Hello, Robert.
Hey, Helene. Thanks for having me. It's lovely to be on your show and be there with all your lovely fans and friends.
Oh, I am so happy to have you here with us today. It was so great meeting you in March, and I'm just so happy that you accepted my invitation to be on the show. I really am. So, you know, I'd love to start this interview by hearing where it all began for you. I know you've talked about seeing apparitions all your life. Is this why your studies have focused on the committee you say we all walk with?
Yeah, largely, you know, when I was young, there was a phenomenon that was following me, and at first we really didn't know what it was. You know, I was reporting to my mom as I came down the stairs that, you know, that we were having people in the house at night time, and she was like, oh, what are you talking about? And I would say, well, you know, you must have seen them. They were like men and women, and sometimes there would be children. And she goes, there was no one here last night. And I would say, yes, there was. And she'd say, no, there wasn't. And I'd say, yes, there was. And she'd say, no, there wasn't. And I'd say, yes, there was. She said, what are you talking about? I started to describe what medically we call semi-etheric full torso apparitions. These are men and women like you and I who have benefited from greater time and just greater knowledge. Like all of us, they had lived in the material world at one time, just like we do, fulfill their soul contract agreement, and then move from the material plane back to what we actually originally live in, which is the interlife, the life that we exist in. We're only here. You might say that the soul and the spirit take a decision to move into the material world as an adjunct to their studies to further the evolution of their own spiritual growth. And so they move into something like, say, the earth plane experience. And these apparitions are people just like us that had finished their lives and then were walking through the inner planes. And then I began to realize that they were all walking around us. And then later on, you know, I was taken to doctors and examined and then asked a lot of questions. And this is in the early days before pop metaphysics was where it was is today. And then they began to say, well, you know, he can really, you know, there's something that he's seeing here. You know, this isn't made up. This is just a witness to a phenomena. Many years later, when the first book was released, The Divine Blueprint, it came out pretty much at the same time that the movie, the motion picture The Sixth Sense came out. And then you remember the famous line, you know, I see dead people. And so that caused, you know, quite a stir because, you know, I've been seeing that for a long time, people standing behind people. And then they would say, well, Robert Perala's here and he sees the real thing. And it's basically the culmination of 30 years of research, you know, and paying attention and looking, listening, and experiencing things at them in the middle of the night, to realize that everyone is actually walking through this plane of existence where a lot of other people are walking through the inner planes. We're just not witnessing it with the naked eye. And so, truthfully, everyone has a team and a committee, and maybe we can talk about that on your show, and then people, learn a little bit more about the fact that there is a team and a committee actually walking with you every day of your life, and listen to your thoughts and deeds and what you do, and there's a somewhat of a separation here. We think no one's really looking or taking notes, and it's not anyone really judging us in the same way that they would on the earth plane. However, they are to assist us there, So,
Robert, the apparitions that you saw, I do want you to elaborate in a little bit about the committee that we all walk with. But I want to ask, what you saw as a child, were these apparitions ghosts or were they people that had already gone to the light?
Both. To differentiate, who's gone into the light and who's not, that would be, really hard to judge that. But people who have moved out of the material world, they do actually, we call them ghosts. They're apparitions. They're discarnates. They are spiritual entities without a body. But I mean, the level above this, the material plane, which you can witness with your eye, is loaded with much more than just people. I mean, it's actually a whole host of different visiting entities of all kinds. You've heard in folklore from angels and the angelics, the seraphim, the cherubim, the benaya lahim. The Bible talks about them. There are things moving through the atmosphere that kind of look like, we kind of lovingly call them like a Bob the Blob. They look just like an amoeba in the ocean. They don't have a form, like a physical form in the sense of arms, torso, and legs. They just look like almost like a jellyfish moving through the atmosphere. So the whole, if you could see the earth plane and the etheric plane, you'd see that you're actually moving through. It'd be like diving in the ocean for the first time and saying, oh my goodness, all this has been going on the whole time. There's all different kinds of shapes and sizes of different fish, as there are with different entities, in this plane. So, yeah.
Gosh, this is really, it's really interesting. And it's really interesting. And you weren't scared as a kid or anything, huh? You just kind of saw it, and it wasn't scary to you at all, obviously.
Well, and I think in the beginning, I thought everybody saw it like that. So if nobody told you that that was odd, you wouldn't think it to be different or separated. So I thought, well, everyone must have seen this. I was quite casual about it. And then there were notes coming back to my teachers. I mean, from my teachers to my parents saying, Robert says, Robert says he's saying he sees people standing behind the teacher and, during the day. And then, this disturbs the class, and what is this? And so they actually made me stay back in the first grade because they were afraid of it. They didn't know what it was. And they thought, what are you talking about? And I said, well, you didn't see that. Somebody standing behind my teacher waving at me and everything. I'm thinking, oh, my God. So they thought, maybe we should keep him back. He's not right.
Oh, wow. Now, I want to ask you, were saying about the committee we all walk with. Is that like our spirit guides?
Yeah, very much so. Spirit guides come in many forms, and they kind of change hands. Kind of like, you might think of them as like the intergalactic babysitters. Some of them come here and they watch and listen and learn. They're coming from a real different plane. Life is much richer and deeper and fuller than we really understood it to be. And as we grow, they grow. Just because they're spirit guides doesn't mean they've got it all figured out either. They actually are watching and learning from us what free will represents and how we make our choices and why we made our choices. In any decision that we make, there's many, many, many different sides to the decision and how the decision is made, why, and how does it affect the egoic body or the mental body or the causal body, whatever. So they actually come and assist us. And then some move on to other people and say, well, I'm going to go over and watch these guys for a while. And, then another group of people come in and watch you. But you really do have a specific group that really that kind of knows you, is with you more than almost any other. And these people would be more or less almost assigned to you to watch you through your whole incarnation and your life. And it's not a it's actually kind of comical, really. There's been movies made on this. You know, imagine this. You're on the inner planes. No one can see you. You can see them. Not only that, but you can hear what the person is saying while they're here, but more funny enough, you can hear what they're thinking. So you find that the world, from their perspective, is they're watching people that are not congruent. Really, you know, a lot of people are learning just to be even congruent. They'll say one thing when they really are thinking another, because they're trying to take position. They perhaps are owed money, or they want acceptance or love, so they will say it this way to get to where they're going. When actually they're thinking something completely different. It's like they go up to Betty and they say, "Oh, Betty, that sweater looks so lovely on you." She owes her money, by the way. "That sweater looks so lovely on you, you know, but you're thinking, I wouldn't be caught dead in it. I just want to get my $10.
Yeah, and they could see and hear everything. They hear everything thinking. And there is no secrets on the spirit side.
There's no secrets. Here, you're in kind of what the Bible had talked about, where you agreed to come here. And without any, it makes reference, with very little interference from God. Now, that's maybe the prophet's way of saying without the same kind of structure, they have and everything. We can really go against spiritual principle here, as you well know. And it's demonstrated every day. Over there, you have a different kind of freedom. And you don't have the limitation of the material body decaying and the cells decaying, but you might have a little different setup of limitation of that you're not just able to go anywhere you just want just because you're a spirit. You know, they also have, you know, their assignments and their sort of zones and areas too, you know. So it's really kind of tricky and fascinating. I'm learning more about it every day.
Well, they're doing a job, I guess. They made an agreement that they were going to be working with you.
Yeah.
And everybody is assigned this group, which I guess sometimes we feel like we're so alone, and I guess we're never alone, huh?
Mm-mm. Hardly. Governing bodies are coming from many factors. You know, there's been references in different, you know, texts and stuff all throughout history. In the lost books of Job, it describes us as being descendants of the house of Pleiades and the house of Sirius and the house of Orion, making a direct correlation between that we are descendants of these areas. So if you thought you maybe were from, possibly there was more to the story and that there's an ET story behind this whole thing and that we come from an ET expression or even an experiment, you were correct, you know.
Yeah.
And people get lost in that because it's not accepted. Your social conditioning goes, "Oh, come on, you don't believe that we're from aliens, do you? Come on, you're scaring the family. Don't talk like that." So you're shut down. You're shut down to it immediately, you know. Whereas if you have an open mind, you realize, you know, that the possibilities are really quite endless, aren't they?
Yeah. Now, since you brought up ETs, in regards to extraterrestrial science, I want to hear a little bit about your experience with ETs, and then I'd like to explore what you know about the Pleiadians.
Right. Well, the study for me, you know, comes in the first phase is learning that we're people that were beyond the material plane. That was when I was very small. In 1977, when I was 21 years old, I attempted a unique experiment that actually is not that unique, but it's been practiced by the yogis and others. And I was reading this text by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. You'll remember him. He made famous with the Beatles in the mid-60s.
Yeah.
And it said that, you know, that if you could sit still long enough and just concentrate your thoughts into the universe, that the universe is a living entity with a sort of a matrix and a formation of listening abilities, and that it can hear you, and that if you sent a thought form in your universe, or say even we call it prayer, something or someone could hear that. and might even respond to it. So I was fascinated by that, you know, and so I was on the California-Nevada border on December 26, 1977. I was a young man of 21, and I went out and I lit a candle. I was right there in what's called Heavenly Valley, of all places, right? What a great place to have an encounter, Heavenly Valley. And I was actually, it was the day after Christmas, and I went outside and I lit a candle and I just held out my hands to the sky and I just concentrated my thoughts. Just concentrated my thoughts. And I said, if there's anyone out there or anything out there, I'd like to make contact with it. And if contact was made, I would use it for world service, or I would enlighten people, or I would support people with the fact that we're maybe not alone. Well, you know, when you're 21, you don't really think anything would really happen. I mean, I didn't go into it with a lot of, you know, that the more belief I had, the more chance I had of making this happen. I just sort of went out there naively, like a kid holding his hands out to the sky and going, hey, you know, I'm here, and if there's anybody, if you can hear me in any way, I'm here. it was literally that simple. And nothing happened. And I went in and... you know, went to bed and didn't think anything, you know, really of it. I don't know what I would expect them, you know, to suddenly appear or whatever. I don't know. I didn't know enough to expect really anything. You know, and since nothing happened anyway, I thought, well, you know, that's kind of fun. And about 2:30 in the morning, the whole room became lit up and charged, like with this flashing of blue lightning and colors of bright indigo and purple all this flashing of light, and it sounded deafening. Suddenly the sound came into the room and it was literally deafening. So I shot up out of bed and I was just literally shocked by the high shrill and sound, and the whole ceiling opened up, and down from the ceiling, literally, I know this sounds incredible, and I've been telling this story for a long time, so, you know, what can I say? Literally, came down into the living room, looked like 3 8.5 foot tall, you know, silver cosmonauts or robots of some kind. They literally just came down through the ceiling and beamed into the living room, just like Star Trek the movie, you know,
wow.
With this tremendous storm going on around them and the sound and everything. And then suddenly I was placed in like a suspended animation. I didn't have enough time hardly to scream or yell help or, you know, what is this? Suddenly I was placed in like a blue bubble. And I was held into position where I could hear my mind a little bit, like a tiny little voice way in the back of my head, like a tiny little voice trying to find an anchor for itself. But I couldn't feel any form of my body. And then suddenly, as I'm frozen and can't move, and all I can barely focus my consciousness. There was part of me that was trying to scream. There was other parts of me that were just, you know, just immobilized. And suddenly, the whole side of the house opened up, and then a tunnel began to appear. And this tunnel is a lot like the motion picture Contact, if you've ever seen that movie where Jodie Foster goes through like the wormhole. That's very close to what it looks like. And suddenly I went wham, right through the side of the house and into this tunnel of light, traveled at incredible, incredible speed. It's incredibly painful. I can't say it was a beautiful experience. And I went into the light and there was someone waiting for me. And all the love, nope, not this one. This one is more like it was very painful. And I noticed that if I just went with it, and tried to blank out. At one point, I decided I would accept death, and I thought this must be like death. You know, just accept it. I tried to reason with it a little bit, and as soon as I relaxed a little bit, it let go a little bit. It was a little easier. But as soon as I became a little more conscious, it was as if my body was on fire. And then suddenly I was thrust into this lighted room, had this gigantic like glass-like object that was there, and seemed to... I can only say that it sort of like absorbed me or interfaced with me. I don't know what it was. And I don't remember, I didn't see anybody in the room. There were nobody waiting for me. There was no aliens. This is no autopsy story. There's no little gray man. There's nothing like that. There's no one in the room. And suddenly I'm thrust back out into this tunnel of light, returned back to the room, lowered down in a blue bubble, which felt like a million needles holding me in position. Suddenly, without warning, the whole thing just goes up through the ceiling and disappears, and the three silver robots, whatever they were, went with it. And then after that...
Wow.
It's just amazing. I mean...
What were
after
they?
That, I lied
what
there.
Happened?
After
what
I interestingly enough, you know, over the years, we've sort of recovered some of this in pieces and everything. Whatever these are, we feel like they're some kind of scientist or living entity that's coming out of what's called the Arcturus system. The Bible makes reference to Arcturus in quite a number of places. So I don't know. People have done readings on it, tried to decipher it, deep hypnosis, etc. What was interesting was I threw up over the side of the bed and I crawled to the vanity mirror in the bathroom, and after a couple of hours of being sort of paralyzed, and pulled myself up and found that I was sunburned from head to toe and I was soaked in like an oil or like a honey material. And I was in a state of shock, and from there, I eventually, when I went home a day later, I locked myself in my apartment for about 3 months, and I didn't want to tell anybody about what happened. I didn't tell anybody for 3 months what had happened. I didn't think anybody believed me. I didn't understand it. I just felt like I was all alone with it. I didn't know it was an extraterrestrial experience. I wasn't there yet. I was still thinking this is some kind of thing, you know, these are maybe angels. Maybe angels come in spacesuits. Maybe that's what this is. I didn't know what this was. I didn't recover the idea of holding my hands out to the universe and experiment and everything until 1992, until 15 years later, you know. So that's how I got in the business. And then I went out in 93 and started telling people what happened and started listening to other people's stories. And then,
yeah, so believe to be the Pleiadians?
No.
They were Pleiadians?
No. I didn't know anything about
the Pleiadians. Okay.
No, I didn't know anything about, I didn't know what they were for a long time. I can't say that totally for sure. There's two other caveats to the story which are kind of interesting. There's a photograph. And if you go to robertperala.com, it's spelled P-E-R-A-L-A, you'll see the button on the homepage, and it says ET Story. Press that button, and it'll take you to a photograph. Now, how did I get the photograph? Here's how I got it, and I couldn't believe that I even have one to substantiate it, because believe me, Lane, I mean, you know, from the 70s to the middle 90s, there was no plan to tell anybody about this. There was no plan to be a lecturer or release a book and be out on the circuit doing lectures and workshops and expos. There was no idea for that. I didn't have enough sense to know that was how my life would unfold. The photograph was found roughly about 3 months later, and I went to a metaphysical bookstore in Los Gatos, California, saw this UFO magazine. I said, this is incredible. They actually have a magazine on this stuff, because I didn't know that there was a magazine issue on the subject matter. And I thought, this is really incredible. Look at this, UFO magazine. How about that? Open it up, and there's a poster of it. Now, in the black and white photograph you see, you're only seeing about 10% of what's there. You're not seeing all the beautiful colors and the flashes of blue lightning. You're not seeing the incredible suit that was silver that lit up like the sun, where even the suit itself seemed to be alive. You're not seeing the orange antenna. They actually had an antenna above their helmet, and they had a visor, and I saw no face. I don't know what these things look like inside the suit. And I just about fell over. I said, my God, look at that. Somebody's got a photo of one of these things, you know. And it turned out to be an off-duty police officer named Jeff Greenshaw, who took it in 1973 in Falkville, Alabama. And so he took two photographs of it, and I just was amazed. And then later on, I met a woman named Clarissa Bernhardt, who's still alive to this day, And she gave me a reading, credible, told me I was not allowed to record it, and my recorder didn't work while I was in the room, which is incredible because I had this all planned out to do a reading with her. I'd never done psychic readings or been to one hardly before. And she said at that time, she said, it won't work. I said, well, wait a minute, I've just got, like, I'll plug it into the wall then. And, you know, you remember those little cassette recorders you used to have?
Yeah.
The little door you'd push down, little plastic, clear plastic door you'd push down the cassette, and you could record your friends. And we all thought, this is so incredible.
Yeah, like yesterday I had one too.
Yeah. And that was the thing to have at the time.
So what about your reading with Clarissa?
And so she said, it's not going to work. And I said, well, wait a minute, I've tested it all. It's got to work. She said, no. They're telling me it's not going to work. And I mean, what do you mean? Who's telling you it's not going to work? He said, they're telling me. I can hear them. I go, you can hear them? They go, I'm amazed. I never heard of anything like this in my life. They said, it's not going to work. This is just for your ears. You're not ready yet. So I tried to plug it in the wall, prove it wrong, and the thing doesn't work. So that's when she reveals to me something that's here for your audience. This is for everyone. She looks at me and she says, I'm going to tell you something now that is important here. They know who you are. This thing that came and saw you, they know you. I go, they know me? How would they know me? I mean, how would they even have the... I couldn't figure out how they'd even be able to transcend the incredible distance it would even take to get here and then find me, of all people, me? I mean, I didn't understand... I couldn't understand why I would even be important to something like this. And she said, you called these beings. I said, well, that's good. Yeah, I didn't know about that, but it sounded familiar. It still wasn't recovered, but it sounded familiar. I said, continue. She says, that's when she said, they're related to you.
Oh.
Now, when you tell a 21-year-old that whatever comes and visits you like this is related to you, it just and this is the year 1978, so you knew where we were, what we were thinking like then. It's like, you can't believe what you're hearing. They're related to me. I thought, this got to be a joke. You're kidding me. And then she described the experience, and it was remarkable. And she described what they look like. And she says, we call them the Space Brothers, and they're coming from an area of Arcturus. They appear to me on a regular basis, and that's how I made the earthquake predictions. At the time, she was known as the Earthquake Lady, and she used to make very accurate predictions, and she says she got them from these people. And I thought, this story is just so incredible. I almost can't believe what I'm hearing or experiencing, you know. So that's how it started, you know.
Wow. Now, what do you know? What do you know about the Pleiadians? I'm particularly interested in Pleiades and the Pleiadians. Do you know anything about that group also?
Well, you know, what we know about them thus far is that really, and this is just my opinion after a lot of talking to people and research and reading books, and also there is a side, yes, they have appeared to me in the middle of 1992. I did see, you know, a woman appear to me actually in the middle of the night, just literally lit up in what looked like a flight uniform. Here's what we know about them, and you can just take this for what it's worth. They're men and women that are coming from basically our future. They were here at one time just like us, and they've seeded the planet with a DNA that is responding to their growth pattern. And the incoming karmic-bound souls that are coming here to learn lessons in mastery about relationship mastery and emotional mastery, the emotional body, and choice and decision, and to learn about spiritual mastery, what serves creation, what takes away from creation, what serves the creator, what takes away from the creator, and so on and so forth. All that has been placed here in a platform, and those beings send spirits and souls who are kind of coming up the ladder, so to speak. And then they are born, they are brought here, from the spirit plane. They enter into an agreement with the angelic kingdom. And that's where you actually see, before you even come here, you actually see the time zone you're going to come into, the geographic location you're going to come into, the family you're going to come into, I know that seems incredible for some people. You know, but
yeah.
And the bloodline you're going to come into, and you see all of this before you're going to be born. And then they find the area that is best suited for you to serve out the sort of a karmic aspect. So in some cases, while they're a governing body, some people will be sent here to very limited positions, and they will see what life is like without choice because, you know, perhaps they were not, or perhaps you might say the hunters were the hunted at one time, or vice versa, and they're seeing it limited. Or they may be, you know, the soul might be coming here to experience a, you know, an easy expression or whatever. Mm-hmm. The Pleiadians are like time jumpers. They're jumping between time zones and sort of massaging the reality throughout its own evolutionary process here. That means that they can enter in at almost any time zone that they want and watch the souls that are growing here, which are not only just coming from them, but they're coming from other areas as well. And so we're a shared experience with these beings. And and some of them, there's a whole cluster of stars and spheres in this area, and the Bible makes references to them. I'm not a Bible thumper. I've mentioned it several times, but it does make reference to what they call the Seven Sisters, and this is the area that they call the Pleiades: Taygeta, Maia, Electra, Alcyon, Atlas, Era, so on and so forth. And from this area, the Pleiadians, you know, come here. And so some of them can move between the material plane and the non-material plane, and are very advanced and have mastered the laws and everything to be able to do that. Others are kind of at the same level, very similar level that we are, and they're living in this area of the Pleiades, and they're very limited by movement and not able to necessarily even leave their world, just like we can't leave ours unless, you know, there's only a few of us that can do that if you can fly a space shuttle.
Yeah.
You know? So, and they're very friendly. They come in different forms, not only human like us. They come, some are very tall. For the most part, I'm a firm believer that they're coming back to sort of reclaim this experience in what the different texts call the ascension. You know, there's different names for it, but their presence is going to be felt more and more and more over the next 10, 15 years. People are going to get the idea that these multidimensional time jumpers are a part of our experience, and the ones that are just being born now, it'll be natural to them, whereas to us it's like, whoa, space people, you're scaring the family.
First of all, I love this, actually. This is so interesting to me. I always, since reading Bringers of the Dawn, I have taken a great interest in the Pleiadians. So you're basically sharing stuff with me that I'm particularly interested in. And also, in our dialogue before, and as we were getting into the Pleiadians, you were talking about people choosing their family and before they're even born. Like, so in looking at the origin of the soul, yeah, a lot of people talk about life after death, but I want to hear a little bit more of this experience of life before birth, because that is what you were talking about before.
Yeah.
Life before birth.
Life before birth, you know, we only come here for a short interim time, and you know, it can be anywhere from a few moments to maybe 100 years. You know, only the Creator knows, and how long the lifespan will be, but what we know so far is that we live actually most of the time on the other side. It's actually the opposite. Most of what we know is wrong here, and like we believe that this is the life, this is it, get this right, and you get to play with the angels for the rest of eternity. Or if you don't get things right, then you burn in eternal damnation for hundreds of thousands of years, and after that, eternity, which doesn't make a bit of sense. So once we're very primitive. That life is kind of the opposite. We actually reside on the other side. Most, a great deal, if you want to measure time, you know, which you can only have now, but we won't get into that. You know, but if you want to measure time as a distance, we live most of the time on the other side. And it's only for a advanced program, sort of to speed things up, that we come here. We come here for an interim time. But interestingly enough, millions of souls want to be born here and want to share this experience or have this experience. Others are almost like putting on the brakes, saying, no, please don't send me there, you know, because there's so much limitation and you're wearing the veils around you of forgetfulness. You're cut off from your spiritual family to a certain degree consciously. And you actually come here and see yourself being born. You actually, after you've done all the agreement of seeing where you're going and what time zone and what family you're going into, for the most part, when the baby comes out, finally, you actually watch yourself being born. You actually will stand outside your own form and say, look, that's me. I'm, you know, and you know, you're coming out. And so as you come out, only a part of you is infused in that body that's keeping everything going and the organs going and the heart beating and the first breaths. As that body begins to mature and the cells begin to take their alignment, more of the spirit is beginning to infuse into it, and eventually it grows up and it learns I am, form, identification, location, mommy, daddy, language, the stepping stones we use to consciousness, and then eventually you grow up and you become so accustomed here that you deny anything is going on the other side, that there's been any agreement, that there was anybody there that you love and remember. You deny it, and that's why I always get a big kick out of the atheist, you know, they always come up and say something like, well, you know, I don't know, I believe all that stuff you believe in, Rob. Come on, man. All that evolution stuff, and, I'm an atheist and everything. I said, no, you're not. You just need a little more time. You know, because most people don't die atheist right at the turning point. I know because of all my hospice patients. Most people who are getting ready to transcend to the other side usually are scrambling to cut a deal, you know, or try to understand that they must be connected to something, that this can't be the end of conscious existence. But for sure, people are fascinated by life after death. I was always curious about where were we standing the day before we were born.
Yeah, that was so interesting as you were describing the experience too, and thinking about looking at yourself being born. And what you're saying actually deeply resonates with me too. So, I mean, I could completely relate to that. And I love the way you described it, because we're not here for no reason, too. You know, we're here with a sense, with a purpose. And I know you in your books and everything that you're putting out for people to hear. I know that your message is largely about personal growth and the development of the soul. So I've got to ask you, what is a daily routine for living a
purpose-driven
life?
Well, I'm not saying I'm proficient at it, but I kind of see the outline that's been given and trying to follow it somewhat. I wish I'd done better earlier. Daily routine, a good bet to live a really fulfilled life is to start the day with affirmative prayer and affirmation. You know, being specific in what you want in life. The other portion is to know that life is a daily school and an event by which shows you tons of examples every day of things that serve and take away. And to certainly make an agreement with yourself to practice the virtues every day, and to make yourself a real virtue soldier out there, a real virtue student, in the sense that you know, I've seen people who are very spiritually developed, who walk with a lot of grace and poise and polish, confident. They're not so bugged and pulled apart because they're practicing kindness and tolerance, and selflessness, forgiveness, service, and certainly unconditional love. And if they're conscious of that every day, if you're really conscious of it and practice that, then a lot of things follow suit. But we get washed out, I think, with the, you know, everyone else's belief system. And we inherit many belief systems that aren't even our own. And then we find out we get into all kinds of trouble, or we get into the fearful aspect, or we repeat that which we have heard. You know, the sayings of like, you know, you only live once. Nope, that's wrong too. You know, you hear all kinds of things and then we repeat it. You know, how many times did your parents or your friends or your grandfather tell you an ism and you repeated it only 30 years later to realize, you know, that doesn't make a bit of sense. And you wake up to it one day and you go, why did I even tell people that? You know?
Yeah. Well, that's a story in and of itself with the programming that that we've taken in or we've been given. That's the truth. I like that. Yeah. I like what you're saying, though, about waking up with affirmations. It's a daily practice of kindness. Go on, Robert. It is actually extremely interesting to me.
Meditation is a big one, being able to sit still and call in the universal properties around oneself. Random acts of kindness are a real nice little sweet during the day to give. You know, there's a saying I love when it says, if God couldn't come today and God sent you, what difference did God make today? And I thought, yeah. So think of yourself as like a little emissary, that you're here on like assignment. You know, you're here to enlighten and inspire people and enliven them and not to judge them. And if they look different or act different, so be it, but this is for all of us to practice. And certainly I catch my own mind straying. I mean, I listen to my own thoughts sometimes. Honest to God, Helene, I wouldn't even hang out with a guy like me.
No, you know? I would hang out with a guy like you.
you know the stinking thinking that we all have? You know that little voice that we all have that goes, you're not good enough. Or you didn't do it right, or look at that guy. Wow. And you start judging and taking everyone else's inventory. You know, and we all have it. We
it's
all have that negative
side. It's all part of the programming. I like what you said. We're a little emissary of God. You know, I once heard Wayne Dyer say that if God was a big apple pie, you would be, what you are is a little slice of apple pie. And you're made of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuck with me, too. Again, we're here to let go of all difficulty and drama so that we could be a living example of what humanity could be. And so that's why I like how you're walking through the day with this, because it puts things in perspective. Honestly, Robert, it's a very unnatural thing to have to wake up at 6 a.m., force feed yourself a meal, take care of all your bathroom needs, get yourself dressed in an outfit that you're particularly uncomfortable in, especially even high-heel shoes for women, only to drive through traffic, crazy traffic, to sit under fluorescent lights in a cubicle and work for somebody else for 9 hours, only to have to drive back in that traffic and then take care of an entire family. And yet, this is what I would say 70% of people in this country do, which is, it's a very uncomfortable experience, and I'm sure that they're not seeing themselves all the time as this emissary of God, and this is really talking about the programming, and that's where the rest of that, not good enough, not, you know, not worthy, you know, shame, and all those little other tidbits that have been programmed into us come too. Because it keeps us still embroiled in that matrix-type life. But it's very interesting because you had woken up, you know, at a time in the 70s when not a lot of people were awake. I mean, the very fact that you said this was happening to you in 1978 the times of Saturday Night Fever, times when we were all doing these, you know, I mean, all these drugs and all this kind of stuff was introduced into our culture. Well, as somebody in the chat room just said, a lot of distractions keeping us from our purpose. So it's nothing short of a miracle, especially at that time that you'd come to this point and these realizations. And it took a lot of courage for you to come out and tell your stories, that's for sure. I mean, you're the author of two big books, I mean, internationally acclaimed, and I want to hear, I know you have a new website and a new video blog called The Divine Intelligence, thedivineintelligence.com. Maybe you can talk a little bit about this with us.
Well, it's under construction. We were lucky to get the domain name. And we're building a site that is inclusive for everyone. We want to do a video blog, which is being filmed soon. And we wanted to just have people join in on the conversation, throw out subject matters. The divine intelligence is a force that's around you, within you, and combines all things together. And that intelligence is causing everything to grow. It's what Ernest Holmes and Emmett Fox had talked about. And studies like The Science of Mind and so many other books that are all based in that, how they, it's an understanding of, you know, why souls come here, how the operating properties of nature work, service, or take away from us in one form or another. Lessons in mastery, it's personal growth oriented. The divine intelligence is, you're a part of it. You just said it right there, you know, about being a slice of the pie. You actually realize that, yeah, you're, God's not something outside your experiences. It's just waiting to strike you down if you don't get it right. But rather, you're an intrinsical part of its own matrix, its own growth. You're like a cell within its body. It's exploring itself, you know. It's spawning seeds out there like you and I, and we're exploring ourselves. It's exploring itself. So there's no place that the divine intelligence is not. It's trying to understand that intelligence. Now, that intelligence is growing every day, and so are we. And what's happening, I think, in this paradigm that we're entering into, what they call, oh, they got so many different names to it, you know, I guess the loosely named ascension of the planet, you know, or ascension of planet Earth is being used. But in essence, as the Earth is being birthed into a slightly larger expression. Now, some people are getting the information technologically via the computer and via the way we receive information in social media. But what's being also advanced is the divine intelligence is actually an intelligence that you can tap into in a little stronger, succinct way than you could have maybe even 5 years ago. The conjunctions that are happening astrologically are beginning to increase these octaves of light or octaves of awareness. You might say they're massaging the reality, allowing the consciousness for various people that are seeking enlightenment from the spiritual plane to access that in a deeper, more profound manner than they could before. And we see this throughout history. Astrologically, you see the summer of 67, where a lot of people woke up and suddenly we went from being more innocent from 65 and 66 and then 67 coming along, and suddenly we're experimenting with everything from mind-altering drugs and then the things begin to be accepted in a different way, and the race riots, we realize black people are equal to us, there's no separation. Today, the advances come, we accept gay marriage without the same kind of condemnation and judgment. We wake up into a new expression with this divine intelligence, and it's increasing. So eventually people will have contact very soon, and already have, with extraterrestrials and realize, okay, I see they're just another formation of ourself, while the others won't have a clue, and they will deny anything is happening, and they will look at you and go, nothing like that's happening. You know, and they go, yo, yes, it is. You'll notice your dreams are getting deeper. You feel the sense that somebody's almost around you, or you see something just slightly out of the corner of your eye. All the movies are pointing in that direction. There's a lot of movies pointing out that you'll notice this sort of characters with sort of super abilities and able to talk to people that are from a slightly higher plane. They do it kind of crudely in Hollywood, but you get the general metaphor and idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happening in our lifetime. Trust me when I say you will see disclosure and extraterrestrials well in your lifetime. It's just beginning really to take hold now. And the next 3 and 5 years are going to be really exciting as to what kind of happens here. And there won't be anything that governments can really do about it, because it's coming outside of our or inside our experience, you might say. So it's just, it's on its way in. And, you know, the Earth is finding out who's who right now. So that's why you see all this collapse in systems of the patriarchal system, financial systems, people being exposed for all the malfeasance and corruption that they're involved into. They're just absolutely getting exposed like crazy now, because the whole vibration of the planet has changed.
It was exciting, Robert. I mean, this is a great time to be alive. And I think at this point in time, people are waking up in droves. And, you know, this term waking up is a popular phrase that is going viral, that's for sure. I'd love to talk about what it means to you, waking up, or what you see right now.
Waking up is suddenly there's another, let's talk about the byproducts real quickly. The byproducts are, you've lived this one life, you've identified with things the way that you do, you now realize that there's another presence here, and you wake your television set and suddenly you see TV in a much different way and you go, what is this? And you realize things in waking up, like realizing that society's falling into all the socio-conditioning, gratuitous violence as the accepted norm, and suddenly it looks very foreign to you. On my Facebook page, I think I've posted like there's the 10 or 15 evidences that you're waking up and becoming much deeper spiritually, where it explains that on my Facebook page. It's almost hilarious when you read it. You realize nothing is exactly as it appears. You realize that the social conditioning of being led by a hierarchical structure is flawed fantastically by people with much lesser values, that the little person across the street is probably holding much deeper and richer values than the person that's holding their finger on the button of the big bomb or the money. And you realize, you wake up and you say, wait a minute, you know, I'm connected somehow. I'm a way shower. I'm part of the transition team, and they're growing in numbers, like the 100th monkey theory. You're waking up. Your show didn't come about years ago. It came about when it did, because you were waking up and saying, you know what? I'm Helene Lipson. I'm a platform. I'm a conduit to the divine intelligence and the divine. I'm going to have a radio show, and I'm going to help and invite those people in. And so you're doing it. Because maybe years ago you might not have said to yourself, gee, I think I'll be a radio show host talking about spiritual principles and personal growth and put my own time and money behind it.
Yeah, I never thought.
No, and look where you are now. Thousands of people are listening to Helene Lipson. I see you on the Facebook. And you know, all this huge audience now, look where it took you, because the divine intelligence is carrying you. It's saying, oh, here's a one that's awake. Let's infuse her with some of this stuff. You're probably getting more of it because you're open to it.
Yeah, well, it's whatever you can believe is possible is what you're able to see. That's for certain. And I'm a work in progress myself. Back in 2009, I was in a matrix kind of job, like that unnatural job that I described to you, until I couldn't take it anymore. I was breaking. Mm-hmm. I just burst out hysterical crying. I was at my desk sobbing. I could barely breathe. I had to leave. I was hysterical. I realized I couldn't stay any longer. And I went from extreme to extreme, where I had this time off and I had some time to think about the meaning of life and why we're here and what we're doing. So I do. I believe that there are some people that woke up at the same time as me. I think a lot of people woke up at that point. Even though I was always interested in spiritual things, Robert, I just, that was when I realized I had to step out of that world, that there was no place for me there, that I couldn't exist, that there was no point to my life. And this really definitely in making this show and in the work that I do on a day-to-day basis, it is more in service to my mission. That's true. But it's very interesting because a lot of people are even just starting to wake up now. So I'm glad that I'm able to do this show. And you've been doing this a lot of years, Robert. When did your first book come out? I mean, by 2007,
yeah.
You already got an award. You got the Congressional Recognition Award. So you were doing this a long time.
Well, the first book came out in 98. But I was in spirituality in 78, where I made my decision, this is the way I'm going, I'm going to get into this now and everything. And but now, you know, now it came out in 98, and it, you know, it was a missile. It was like a missile being strapped to my back. The book did very, very well, opened up a lot of doors. And, you know, I'm not the hot flavor of the month or the big guy or the big, you know, name in social media. I'm just a guy that's consistent out there that's serving and hopefully just doing my part in enlightening and touching people and inspiring people, you know. And then the second book came out in 2002, and since then it's just been lectures and workshops and just doing my part to hopefully further advancement. I have my lovely wife, Helen, incredible, who's inspiring me every day, who's lifted me to a whole another place I never thought possible, and showing me what love means and assisting me in every way. So, you know, behind every good man is a great woman, and I got one. And what more can I say to that? As a loving, she's your good friend, which is really great. And we're really happy to be friends with you.
I love your wife. I do love your wife, too. So that's true. We have a lot in common, too.
Yeah.
And it's true. You guys are a beautiful couple. I want to backtrack and just back to your books. I want to know what people can expect to find in your books. And for those of you who are out there and see the divine blueprint or see the divine architect, it's definitely worth a look. Yes, what can people expect to find in your books, Robert?
Well, we wanted to be like, you know, the layman's. We weren't special. Tony Stubbs and I wrote it together. Tony Stubbs is now passed on, and he was just a wonderful mentor, like, you know, my Obi-Wan, you might say. I was very blessed. Every once in a while, somebody gets blessed with their Obi-Wan. I got one. And we wanted to write a layman's book for everyone that would be kind of a full-spectrum book. We weren't specialists in any one area. We wanted to present a little bit about all the, say, the phenomenal aspects of the human experience. So we would touch on life before birth, life after death, what goes on in between in the way of how we respond, behavioral science, spirituality, metaphysical and esoteric stories, how the properties of all the entities operate on the inner and outer planes, earth sciences, what the sacred sites were about, why they were here in one form or another. We did the best we could there. We had invited guests into the books like Greg Braden and Shirley MacLaine and Tony Robbins and the Dalai Lama's organization. So we wanted something for everybody, a variety show. So you can get them at robertperrella.com. They're a blast. They still sell well. Everybody just likes the book so much because we tried to speak to everybody in a humble manner that would serve.
Yeah. Well, you did a beautiful, beautiful job. Now, I know, Robert, that time is really running away with us, so I wanted to ask, on a closing note, if you have a message you'd like to share with our listeners.
Oh, so many. Practice the virtues every day. Write it on a piece of paper, tape it to your bathroom mirror so you know before you leave the house. Say, you know, something like, am I practicing tolerance, forgiveness, selflessness, unconditional love, service. Let's be a part of the solution today, not part of the problem. Let's watch the stinking thinking. Let's have a lot of fun and go get them, kids.
Oh my goodness. That was a great closing message. It was so funny, and it's so awesome, awesome, awesome that you came on the show and that you're here talking with me today. I will say this, Robert, to our listeners, anybody interested in taking a look at Robert's work a little more closely, you'll find him at www.robertperala.com. That's perala.com. Keep your eyes open for the divineintelligence.com. I know I am, and I'm looking forward to seeing that site when it opens up. And again, Robert, I thank you so much for just I had a great time talking to you. And this was beautiful.
Oh, thank you
stuff.
So much, Elaine. Your spirit shines bright and lights the way for many.
Oh, thank you. And I want to say thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in to Embracing What's Real on In5D Radio. Next Wednesday, June 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern, you can tune in to Cosmic Current with our special guest, Veronica Lee. For more information about upcoming programs, come visit my website, www.insightsbyhelaine.com. Until we meet again, remember, the sky is the limit, and anything and everything is possible. Namaste.